I'm gonna let Bob talk about some of the upgrades he's doing to the GMRS repeater. I know it really doesn't have nothing to do with amateur, but it is, it's Bob's and I have one, which actually is your repeater. Bob, you wanna go ahead and?
Yeah, okay. Well, if you could refer to this, these pictures that I gave everybody. So just to sort of put everything in context, so this is a picture of the repeater site up on Rattlesnake.
Here, John.
And you can see in the foreground, there's a propane tank, and in the background, to the right side, there's a little box over there. That's the new generator that the county, Center County put in for us. So all the repeaters are housed in that shed. That shed was originally used for 911 for Center County. And then when they moved to another frequency and another facility, then that became vacant. So the history, as I understand, is decades ago, I guess, N3SBW got permission to put the para repeater in there, the 4-3 repeater, and it's been in there ever since and pretty much running continuously. So that shed, there's been some maintenance issues with the shed over the years. We've had problems with wildlife. There's been a problem that's now fixed is that we used to have porcupines were chewing through the wood around the bottom because I guess they like to get the salt out of that T-111 siding. The county has fixed that. This picture is not up to date. Since this picture was taken, they actually wrapped the bottom 3 feet of this with metal, and that appears to have completely stopped the porcupine problem. We still have a problem with mice getting inside. Whenever you go in there, there's always some mice droppings on top of the repeaters and things like that. So as you can see in this picture, there's a big vent there. There's one on the opposite side as well. And those vents are there. If the building gets too hot, there's a thermostatically controlled fan in there that comes on. And so one side's the intake and one side's the outlet. And whenever that thing turns on, that presents a wide open way for mice to get in, and apparently there might be other places they can get in, but it's been a continuing problem with mice getting in there. So I guess what I want to say is, in general, I'd like to raise the issue of a couple of maintenance items that we might be able to address ourselves. We've mentioned some of these things to the county, and they've been helpful, but I think some of this, it's maybe just easier to fix ourselves because some of these are really simple problems. So if you look in the second picture, you can see near the bottom of the shed, there's some heavy copper wires coming out that go down into the ground. So those are ground wires. There's ground rods under the soil. And inside the building, there's a continuous loop that goes around the perimeter of the building that connects all those ground wires together. And that ground also connects to the tower, and on the inside, all the feed lines coming in are connected to the same ground system. So that's basically a path for the lightning if you get a hit. The third picture shows the tower itself, and you can see halfway up the tower there's a Yagi antenna, a little Yagi there, about a five element. That's pointed at Harrisburg, and that's VHF. And so Greg Dice, I think you probably all mentioned him or met him, he's been at meetings in the past. But so Greg Dice, at his own expense, paid for a Center Communications to install two antennas, the Yagi that's pointing to Harrisburg, and then on the same leg, which is the climbing leg, at the very top, there's a new whip antenna installed up there, and that's for UHF. And so what Greg is planning to do in October is to install a sky-worn weather repeater up there that's basically dedicated for that purpose, for weather reporting. Greg has a relationship with the people at the National Weather Service office in State College, and he wants to help them out and help the community out by making it possible for amateurs on UHF frequencies to be able to easily submit weather reports and get that information into the people in State College. But then the main office for the National Weather Service is down in Harrisburg. And they have a repeater down there that's VHF. So that's what the Yagi comes into. What he's going to be able to do is basically link the two repeaters. So the Yagi is whatever we transmit locally on his UHF repeater will be heard on the repeater in Harrisburg. And whatever they transmit will be heard up here. So it'll be, they'll be linked together. Now that link can be taken up or taken down. So we're gonna have to determine down the road, you know, if that's compatible. If the Harrisburg people say, we don't wanna hear your chit chat in Phillipsburg, well, then we may just have to bring the link up from time to time when there's a need for it, rather than have it up all the time. That kind of thing remains to be seen. But just in terms of the physical site up there, I just wanted to let everybody know what's up there. So that tower's about 100 feet, and some of the antennas on there were there before the club got started. What's not visible here is actually the 4-3 antenna. It's on the back side, faced away from us, so you actually can't see the 4-3 antenna. I think the long one, or maybe one of the short ones, I'm not sure, is used by Center, the recycling facility on Better Pike. They have a repeater up there as well for their trucks. So their repeater's also in that shed. So there's, right now there's the 4-3 repeaters in that shed. The GMRS repeater that I maintain is in that shed. The Skywarn repeater is going to be added in October, and then the refuse collection or the recycling repeater is also. So it's going to be a total of four repeaters, four antennas, actually five because of the VHF antenna being used there. So the site is actually finding more use, and I think that's a good thing. I think Center County looks at that as a good thing. So in terms of just making sure that everything is reliable and dependable, I just had a couple of issues I wanted to talk about. So the wildlife, the mice, Darren suggested, for one thing, we could just maybe put some decon inside the shed. The other thing is we could maybe get some screen and put over those openings. We know the openings we know of where mice can get in, and we can make some kind of a thing to go over those vents with maybe, you know, half inch mesh screen or something and fasten it on there. There have been some roof leaks. In fact, some of the ceiling tiles, there's a couple of them, it's basically on the right side when you walk in the building. There seems to be, and I think what's going on in the winter when ice builds up, it starts to melt a little bit and there's pooling of water up there, and somewhere it's finding a hole and dripping down in. And there's fiberglass insulation above ceiling tiles, and what's happening is it's getting saturated, and this past winter one of the ceiling tiles actually collapsed and fell in pieces to the floor. And so it's not dripping on any of our equipment, but it worries me that it might if it gets worse. Center County sent some people up to look at it, and they couldn't find anything wrong, and they said there's not a problem, but explain the ceiling tiles, you know.
So is there a drip edge on that?
Well, it's a metal roof.
Well, you can still put a drip edge or something underneath it, whatever, so it comes off the roof and goes straight down instead of coming back in on T111 and everything.
Yeah. I have not, you need a ladder to see that roof to get up there, and I've never taken one up there, but I'd sort of like to.
Well, you should be able to see something from the side, from down below, whether there's anything there to divert the water from coming off the roof.
Yeah. I can't say I haven't looked at it that close.
Because judging from this, that all does drain to that side.
Yeah.
Where the problem's at.
So what do you think we should
make a date? We can go out and assess and see what we need, and we'll bring it back, and then.
Because water has a tendency to roll right off the roof and come right back in. But there's nothing there to make the water go straight down.
So yeah, we could do that.
Does anybody have any faith in those little blue things? They seem to work, as far as I can tell. I don't know whether they use ultrasonic sound to drive the mice away.
Oh, back to mice. Oh, I've never tried it. I don't know. Do they run on AC power or how?
They're made so you just plug them into light any place there's an outlet.
So just it's like ultrasonic or something?
I've never seen them before, but my sister-in-law had them in her place down in the Poconos, and they claim they work real well.
Especially they have them for birds also.
I don't know what they actually do, but at least take a look and see if.
Yeah, I think they transmit a sound that we can't hear, but the animals can. They don't like it.
So. And it somehow shifts around in frequency. Yeah. I know the thing glows bright and then dim. I don't know what.
Well, that's something we should look into.
Yeah, it'd be an easy fix.
Yeah.
Then we don't have dead mice. You know, if they eat a decon don't get out, then they stink.
Yeah. We had military vans that had the floor was up, and they used that as circulation for the air conditioning and heating, and we had mouse die in there.
Yeah.
It was very unbearable, no way you could get that out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Wait till the smell wore off.
Yeah. John, would you be interested in going along up someday and have a look at that roof?
Sure.
Okay. I'd be grateful for your advice on that, just to see what, probably need a simple solution. We probably don't need a whole new roof.
I mean, yeah, flashing's cheap. I mean, you can buy a roll of flashing.
Yeah, right. Anything that.
Yeah.
You know, just put down along that side there, and burnt the water can come.
Back in.
Back in on itself, so it drips straight down.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So, I guess, I'm gonna be putting a new repeater in up there, so I won't have time to look at that for a while. Maybe the two of you guys, if you're, would you be available to?
I'm gonna be scared here because of the wedding.
You're the wedding thing, yeah.
I got the wedding thing coming, so I'm kind, I don't wanna commit. During the week would be better for me after evening, you know, once I get home.
John, you can come anytime.
Well, you still. Ain't coming except next week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you gotta have the key to get through the gate to get up to the building, so I guess one of us would have to.
Yeah, whenever you guys are ready, go up, just give me a holler.
Okay. All right, will do. So anyways, moving on with what I'm talking about here is basically upgrades to the site itself. So not any particular repeater, just the site itself the building ground system. The building's, I guess it's probably been there close to 40 years. I think they've
been there a long time.
Put it up in the 80s. And I did some reading. There's the ARRL has this book on grounding and bonding. And I read that book. I read through that a couple of times a couple of years ago when I got started with ham radio. And then I found this report on here about the service life of ground rods. And you know, everybody, when they build a house, they put ground rods in, you hook up your electric system, and you don't really think about it. But from what I'm reading, over the years, the ground rods become less and less effective because there's chemical reactions going on in the ground, and you get, you know, oxidation or corrosion on the rods, and then eventually you get a high resistance there, and they're not as effective. So, if you flip to the very last page of this report, they gave an estimate of the service life of these ground rods, and the best ones that they're talking about here last 50 years service life. That's if you have a 13 mil copper coating. So I'm assuming that when they built that, they probably used the best available rods. So one of the things I'm wondering about is, at some point, if we might want to get some extra ground rods and drive in at the four corners where those wires come out of the ground system, just put some extra rods in the ground and connect them to those wires just for a little bit better ground system. We're paying every year for insurance, but I'm just looking at this as another type of insurance just to make sure we have really good grounding up there. So, John, you've got experience as an electrician. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know how old those ground rods are up there now. It couldn't hurt, put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not going to hurt. And actually, ground rods aren't that expensive. I mean,
they're running 14, 15, yeah. 16 bucks a piece for the copper ones right now.
Yeah.
Plus you need the clamps and maybe a little bit of number four wire.
But the best thing to do there would be to, if somebody has a Hilli drill, hammered,
yeah.
One of the big, like, or even a Bosch, mm-hmm. to have the for driving in anchors, they make a head for driving in ground rods.
Yeah.
And you know, you would save yourself a hell of a lot of freaking muscle. Just, you know, all you do is just lay it on there and just, yeah. Sink them right in instead of using a sledgehammer.
Yeah, my son has one of those tools. He said it's just the weight of the tools. All you need is to drive itself. Yeah.
They have the other ones too that you use two hands on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
still manual labor.
Right.
Do we know anybody that has a tool like that?
I don't. I do not.
I put a bunch in at my house the old-fashioned way with the sledge, but. Yeah. I, you know, that was my soil. I'm not sure
I'm
what
sure
soil there is like.
Anything, if nobody has one, you'd almost have to rent one from like Best Line or somewhere. Yeah.
Kephart might have one over here, and he might be willing
good
to
day.
Let us use it.
Yeah.
If I see Joe, I'll ask him. He'll probably let that, since it's a club.
But something else you'd have to do there too, you'd probably have, because I, you know, you don't know what else is underneath there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to have to get
approval.
You might have to get one call.
Yeah.
And they'd have to have access.
And, you know, you'd have to have the approval from the county too.
Yeah.
And we know we don't got underground power, we know we got sewage, we don't got water, so there's a pretty good chance you're not gonna hit shit out there in that mountain, so, but you never know. Just to cover you.
Right.
Because you go out there and you do hit maybe a fiber optic, maybe could be buried up there, who knows?
Yeah.
So what got me thinking about all this?
And 3SPW said that was fine. We can give you the repeater.
Okay, well, it'll still go down as John's repeater, but we'll use our frequency instead of John's.
He said that's fine.
Okay, like I said, it'd be great just to get D-Star back up in the area.
Sorry, I missed, like, you didn't.
That's fine, that's fine.
So what got me thinking about this overall is just, I found this document here, which is, there's a site called repeaterbuilder.com, and they got tons of good advice on there. And this is basically a set of guidelines for any repeater site to follow when you have multiple repeaters, so they all play together nicely. And so when you, one of the things they mentioned in here on the first page I highlighted is, all racks and cabinets should be secured electrically to the earth ground provided in the building. And minimum number 4 stranded copper, and they like it to be green if it's insulated. And we're not currently doing that. Our cabinet is sitting there in the middle of the floor, and from day one, I don't think when it was a 911 system, there was no evidence that there was ever a ground wire there. But I'm thinking each one of these repeaters should probably be, the cabinet should be grounded. And then if you I forgot to bring that. No, wait, no, this one here. If you look at this document, this document on the third page, there's a picture, and it shows with inside the cabinet how to ground pieces of equipment inside the cabinet. They basically want you to have a bus bar, and each piece of equipment is grounded to the bus bar, and then the bus bar is connected to the building ground and also to the cabinet itself. So that way every piece of equipment has a direct path, right to the building ground. And so I think there again, what we're looking at is just a little bit of wire and some terminations and things, not a lot of money. But I think our 4-3 repeater, I mean, for my own repeater, I'll pay for the wire and the turn, you know, I'll do what I need to do for my repeater, but for the 4-3, that's the club's repeater. So I guess I'm looking here at anticipated expenses. I'm looking at possibly some decon or maybe a device like Dick's suggestion, some wire screen to go over the openings, some new ground rods, grounding electrodes, a little bit of bare copper wire, and some clamps to hook those up, and I understand we'll have to get permission to put those in the ground. Some heavy green grounding wire for the 4-3 repeater. And the other thing I forgot to mention is, it also talks in this document about if you have antenna feed lines coming into your repeater shed and they're not connected to anything, they can radiate RF into the shack and cause problems with the repeaters, you know, that you get RF going around in the shack. So basically when would that happen? Well, like if you look at the picture of the tower, you've got all these antennas at the top. Well, if you're transmitting on any one of those and the other two are unterminated, basically they're picking up strong signal from 3 or 4 feet away and bringing it right back, some of it right back down the wire. And the end of the wire, it's just like the end of a garden hose. It's spraying RF into it. So they're basically saying there should be a terminating resistor on any feed line. Well, there's a couple of feed lines in there now that don't have terminating resistors. And I haven't looked lately what those things cost. They're not super cheap, they're not super expensive. I think they're maybe in, I'm just gonna say $20 range or something like that for a cheap terminator to put on there. But that's basically going through the list of these recommendations of what they recommend you do on a repeater site. That's one of the main things they list is, you know, basically, you know, we don't have a problem day to day. Like when we're having a net, usually everything works fine and it sounds good. And you might say, well, why bother if it's working? Problem is, every once in a while we have noises and issues that we never seem to track down. And I'm thinking maybe if we follow these practices a little better, we'd be, maybe some of that would go away. But when, you know, we're not talking about a lot of money. And I personally would feel better if we resolved a couple of those issues. So, but I wanted to bring it up and see how other people think about it. If you think we should spend a little bit of the club's money just to get these anticipated expenses here, the grounding rods, terminating resistors, and some wire screens, some decon.
Because, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have to do it all at one time, you know, do it over time and that. I don't see a issue with it. I mean, we got to take care of the repeater site.
I'm willing to head it up and probably do most of the work myself if nobody else is interested. But I think since these are the changes to the shed itself rather than any one repeater, I just thought it should probably come out of our club budget to pay for the materials.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know how other people feel about it, but if you think it's worth the expense or...
Any questions that we do some within budget, within reason budget, to go ahead and do some more grounding up there and...
I'll agree with that.
And that, because like I said, we got to take care of the shed. I mean, the county's been fantastic with us. I really don't want to keep pushing them to the end. They're not going to say, just leave, you know. So.
Well, there's a new director too. The director that Carmine knew very well for many years.
Right.
He retired. There's a new director. So I don't think I don't know what our status is there.
Right.
And how they regard requests coming from us like that.
Right. So if we can swing it, let's do it ourselves. And we'll get permission, of course, from them. But I don't think they're going to have an issue. And like I said, they were grateful. They put a brand new generator in up there for us. It's all wired in, so. I mean, they didn't have to do that because they're on a garbage repeater. They could have cared less if they couldn't talk for 24 hours, about, you know. So, and they're buying the fuel for the generator too. So I think the club.
I can't see any of this going over $200 at the most for.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say something about not make a motion like not to exceed $200 or something like that. Or I could. Get quotes. I could come up and get an estimate on all this stuff and come back and we could do it that way. Just
I feel that if anybody want to make a motion that we don't spend over, I can't make a motion at present.
Fine, I'll make a motion.
That we don't spend over $200.
Without approval.
Without approval. Everybody in favor of the motion?
I'm in favor of it.
Aye.
Okay. I'll keep all the receipts and
yeah.
Well, I'll bring it to the next.
You're talking what, four ground rods?
Four ground rods.
So right there is $60.
Yeah.
Your connectors and everything, you might have 100 and some, then your wire. Wire's going to be expensive.
Yeah, the wire is going to be your most expensive item.
Well, or the terminating resistors.
Right.
That stuff can get a little dicey, but we'll see.
You say that ground bar goes the whole way around the inside.
Yeah, I think it goes up, because you have the door opening, I think it goes up around the top.
Right, so you'd have to go from the ground rod in and up.
Well, actually, if you look at the first or the second picture in the group of pictures, you see those at the corners of the shed, those heavy wires coming out going into the ground? I think there's a ground rod at the end of each one of those.
There is, I'm pretty sure there is.
Right down the side.
So yeah, I tripped on the one.
Putting another rod nearby and just clamping onto that
right.
wire.
Right.
That looks like probably number 4 gauge solid copper, or 6 anyways, but probably 4.
Probably 4. Is that the muffler for the gas generator?
That's the old generator.
The old generator.
Okay.
They haven't taken it out, but it's not connected. It's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there doing nothing.
Is that where you're talking about the vents?
Yeah, you see the vent on above the muffler?
Yeah, is that, there's nothing there?
There's a fan on the inside.
Yeah, but there's nothing to keep the mice from crawling in there.
This shutter's, when the fan's not running, there's like shutters.
There's louvers.
That's probably how they're getting in there.
It's louvers.
Yeah.
They just have a louver and it's on.
We've talked numerous times about just taking some stiff wire screen and just form it to fit around there and, I don't know, rivet it or something, or sheet metal screws to hold it in place, maybe fender washers, just to kind of cover that opening. And there's an identical opening on the back side, catty corners from this one, that's the inlet. And that's actuated by, it's got an actuator on there that's electrically, it cranks it open and cranks it shut again. But when those veins are open, it's just,
right.
I mean, a squirrel could get through. In fact, I'm pretty sure we had squirrels in here at one time because the old repeater equipment that was left there from when it was 911, there's broken acorns and stuff in there, inside the equipment. And that was just a mess in there. They had a nest or something in there. I mean, it looks like somebody, originally that looked like they took that equipment and dipped it in sewage and let it dry. That's how bad it was inside. The stuff was totally ruined from the wildlife getting into it. So the problem's not near as bad as it used to be.
What's the big thing at the top? Is that a roof vent, this thing up here?
Yeah, just inside there, there's a fan.
Oh, okay.
And that cools the generator. So if it gets too hot, it's sucking air.
Oh, okay.
Out and blowing it out.
Yeah. I wonder because there was that other louver thing at the bottom.
Yeah, we were talking about the bigger thing at the top.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, technically, since the generator in there, that ventilation was there for the generator, not for the repeaters. Technically, you could probably just take those vents off and seal up the openings, but then you got to get all kinds of permission and stuff.
Yeah, that's county. Yeah. I don't think they're going to give you a problem putting quarter inch chicken wire over, you know.
Yeah.
I'd use a real fine wire screen. The finer, the better. Because mice, boy, they can squeeze through really small places.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking like the half inch squares.
Yeah, you can get down to a quarter inch. Because that's what we use at work and all.
Quarter inch.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the smaller, the better.
Okay.
And it's heavy.